EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. See, I passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all doing okay. I'm Nick Hunter and you're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. Our first guest tonight is Anne from South Africa, and Anne has been experiencing abductions by entities since childhood, when they would call her outside in the middle of the night. Then we head to the States to hear from Tony in Colorado about some paranormal experiences that took place on his family's property in the early 2000s. A black spectre that he and his friends witnessed floating above a field, waking up to a ghost of an elderly man lying next to him, and other strange occurrences. But first, big thank you to those recent supporters of the podcast: Sarah, Sharon, Heather, Zachary, Christian, Ryan, Gregory, and last but not least, Leisha. Thank you all of you, I really do appreciate it. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to the show, Anne.
Hi, thanks, Nick.
It's wonderful that you've managed to come on today and you're calling from South Africa.
Yes, I am indeed.
Now, Anne, your experiences began in early childhood. Would you like to begin there for us, please?
Yes, I think let me start there because I've had quite a few experiences or encounters, if you want to call them that. But I think the very first experience was the most vivid one for me as well. This was back in 1988-89. And I was at the age of about 4 years old. I remember waking up one night and from voices, specifically calling my name. And I would hear this voice over and over again. And I mean, at that age, you don't really think clear, not like an adult would. So I ended up following the voice, and the voices were outside. I remember walking to the front door, and at that stage, I was too little and I couldn't reach the handle to unlock the front door. And I grabbed one of my parents' bar chairs. It was a very tall plastic bar chair. I still remember it like it was yesterday. And I pulled it closer in front of the door and climbed onto the chair. I unlocked the door. I can even remember exactly how the door handle looked like. It was a round door handle. It had one of those little buttons that you press in, and it basically you know, locked the door. So I unlocked the door, climbed off the chair, moved the chair a little bit forward to obviously open the door. And in front of me was standing two entities. They were human-looking entities, but something told me that, I knew there was something strange to it. At that age, I obviously didn't know about, you know, UFOs or aliens or anything like that. It was the last thing actually on my mind, so I wasn't thinking about that. At that age, I was actually thinking I was seeing angels or something. But the two entities, there was a female entity and a male entity. They were quite tall, much taller than the normal human. So I do remember they were very tall. And they had very long blonde hair, beautiful, beautiful entities. I remember looking at the female and thinking she's very beautiful. But I obviously was super afraid. I didn't know what was happening. I knew, even though I followed the voices to outside, I knew that it wasn't quite normal to open the door and finding two entities in front of you in the middle of the night. And so I was very shaken up. And I remember I was just super scared from inside out. And something just told me, it's almost like the female entity looked into my eyes and she just like almost caught my attention and I couldn't look away. She had blue eyes, both of them, by the way, they had proper blue eyes. And then I remember she was speaking to me and she was saying that don't be afraid, because she could feel that I was afraid, or she could see, or at that point, I don't know, but I remember she said to me, don't be afraid, we're not here to hurt you. And the next moment, I realized that as she was speaking to me, her mouth was not moving. So her lips weren't moving, and I could hear her speak to me in my head. Little did I know that was telepathic communication back then. And I got such a fright that I ended up wetting my pants. And I just remember wetting my pants, and I turned around and I ran to my bedroom. As I ran to my bedroom, I was scared to get into the bed because I just kept on thinking, oh my gosh, my mom is going to kill me. You know, I've wet my pants. I can't get into the bed with wet pants. So I went up to the cupboard. I walked up to the cupboard. I grabbed a towel, threw it around my waist, got into bed, and I threw the blankets over my face, and I just hid and I fell asleep again. And the next morning, and this is what is confirmation to me that it wasn't, I haven't spoken to a lot of people about this before, but I've spoken to some of my close family and friends. And, you know, some of them always, most of them end up saying, you know, it was probably just a dream. But I know it wasn't a dream, because when I woke up that next morning, the door was wide open, the chair was still in front of the door, and the towel was still wrapped around my body. So that was the first encounter. And after that, I started experiencing different, or also it's almost like it started getting more intense. So I had quite a few other encounters. It was a little bit different, because initially it was two entities, and the encounters after that ended up being groups of entities. Up until the age of about 10, I would say, I had the same similar experience where I would wake up at night, always at night, and I would hear them call me again. And I would follow the voices to outside. And the only difference is that I started accounting for missing time. So I would walk outside and I would see them, and the next moment I would wake up in my bed. So it's almost like, I don't know if they've got technology to kind of make you forget. That's the feeling I've always had, because I can remember certain things, but I can't remember everything. So, yeah, I had all these strange experiences where I was called outside quite a few times. And then I had a few experiences where one evening I woke up in what I thought was a big, large, white, very white room. And I just remember that I didn't have any clothes on when I was probably about the age of, I would say, 12, 11, 12, around about there. And I had entities sitting around me, looking at me and making notes, almost like they were, you know, almost like that, like I was a patient and they were a doctor. And I just remember that I was very shy because I didn't have any clothes on, and I was freaking out because I had these people or entities or beings looking at me. And the next moment, it's almost like the room started fading away, and And I woke up and I was in my own bed, but I was still in the same position where I was sitting in almost like a fetal position, trying to hide my body. So that was one of the later encounters I experienced. After, I never really spoke to my parents about this in my early ages, in my early years, childhood years. But when I was about 13 or 14, I started mentioning to them that, you know, something was wrong. And after many years, when I had this conversation again with my mom, she said to me that I, between the ages of about 6, 7, 8 years old, all the way up to about 11, 12, she would wake up the next morning and step on me, and I was sleeping next to her bed on the floor. And when she would ask me, you know, what was happening, I would say to her, I was too scared to sleep in my bedroom. And I don't know if it was probably due to these experiences that I've had, although I can't confirm that I've ever felt like my life was threatened while I was going through these experiences. I did, however, not understand as a child what was happening to me, and therefore it was a very scary feeling. I do have one more experience which stands out for me, where I woke up one evening in my bed. Again, I would have the same, a lot of the times these experiences as I grew older, I would have this paralyzed feeling where I couldn't move my body. I couldn't shout, I couldn't scream, but I was wide awake. Now, I've done a lot of research in my latest years about that, and I know a lot of people are saying that it is sleep paralysis. My experience and what I believe is that there's more to sleep paralysis than what they are actually telling us, because this was not just one encounter. There were many encounters where I would feel that my body is paralyzed, and then I would also know that there are entities around me as soon as I become paralyzed. And this specific evening, I woke up and I was floating, almost like I was being pulled up into the sky or something, but I was floating above my bed, halfway between my bed and the ceiling, and I couldn't move and I couldn't get any words out. And I just remember speaking to them in my head, shouting and saying, please let me go. You need to let me go. I don't want to do this. And it took some time, but eventually I woke up. Eventually, I wouldn't say woke up because I was wide awake, but I do remember breaking free from this paralyzed feeling and being able to move my body and breaking free from it. I don't know what these experiences were, but basically, in short, that's what I've been experiencing over and over again.
That's wonderful, Anne. The entities that you saw at the very beginning, the female and the male, the blonde hair and blue eyes, were the entities that you saw in later times, were they always the same, or were they different?
So if I try and think about it, Nick, the only time I've got two encounters where I distinctively remember seeing entities, it was the first time where I saw the entities with the blonde hair, and I then, in some sort of a dream state, saw another entity, which was a very young boy, had blue eyes and a very large head. It was almost like if you think about the grey alien species, that was the form that his head was. When I mentioned previously the group that came to visit me, I had a distinct feeling that they were not the same entities as the blonde-haired entities that I met. It had a very different feeling. It was a different encounter. And because of the paralysis, it was never the same. When I had the encounters with the blonde-haired entities, I was never paralyzed. So I can't 100% answer you on that, but from my feeling, from what I feel within me, there were two different entities that I encountered.
And between the encounters, they felt different as well.
They felt completely different. And the strange thing is that I think that they've got certain technology that either makes you only forget certain things. Like, I've got these unaccounted missing time. Like, I can remember certain things, and if I try and, for instance, focus on remembering their faces, like, for instance, with the group that approached me, it's almost like my mind starts hurting, like there's a block, like it's so difficult for me to try and break through that. So I do believe that they have got certain technologies where they do wipe your memories. Why I remember certain things, I don't know. But yes, it was completely different species, I think, that I've encountered, because it was two different encounters. The one was a lot more frightening, I would say, than the first one. So where they visited me in groups, it was, you know, I was scared. I was definitely scared. I can't say that I felt like my life was in danger, but I was scared for some reason, you know. There was something that was scaring me about it.
And you're right, you know, the more you try and focus on things, especially their faces, it's like you get a kind of brain fog as well. It's like a technique that's used in hypnosis.
I definitely think so. It's not only that, you know, I can't break through, but I get physical headaches when I try and think about certain details. It's the strangest thing ever.
When you approached your parents, what did they say about it? Did they believe you?
Well, when I approached my parents at that time, I still was of the opinion, because remember, this was years ago, people weren't really talking about other worldly beings. So at that point, I thought it was, you know, maybe ghosts or angels or something. I didn't know what it was. But I did tell my parents about this, and the only thing they said is, you having bad dreams. It's bad dreams. That's basically what they said to me.
Yeah, it's usually the response.
Yes, that's correct, Joel. I've had further conversations with my parents about this now in my late 30s, I would say, where I started doing a lot of research to try and find out what was happening, you know, because I eventually started putting the puzzle pieces together, you know. What happened to me wasn't a normal thing. And when I started doing research, I obviously realized that there's other entities out there, and this is not just a ghost that's visiting me. It can't be, because it wasn't a ghostly experience. And years after that, I spoke to my parents about it again, and they're very calm about it now. I wouldn't say they believe me, but I don't think there's a lot of people out there that would, unless you've gone through these experiences yourself.
And they never mentioned that, maybe if they'd ever had an experience similar to this.
My mom did mention to me that she, as a child, was sleepwalking quite a lot, which always made me wonder, but nothing other than that. Another thing that's always made me wonder is that, you know, my grandmother's got O negative blood. I don't know if that's got anything to do with it. I've read some of these stories. I don't know. But no, nothing specific encounter-wise that they've experienced.
Do you ever recall seeing any lights or anything like that, any bright lights?
The first encounter that I had when I was outside, there was definitely light. So on the two entities that were standing in front of me, there was a bright light behind them. So those lights I saw, I haven't specifically seen any other lights, but I have had an encounter before where I've heard a very strange hovering sound outside my window. That's happened before, where I've heard the hovering sounds before.
You were awake during this?
Wide awake. Even with the paralysis, I can tell you I was wide awake. I would sometimes lie in bed, and I mean, I remember looking at the curtains, and the wind was blowing and the curtains were moving. And I, you know, when I feel that paralysis feeling come on, and then I know they're there. I just eventually, after so many encounters, started realizing what was happening.
Having suffered with sleep paralysis since I was young, you know, the science field, they tend to explain it away of far too quickly.
No, definitely.
Because there is definitely a connection between, you know, these encounters, these experiences that people have, and sleep paralysis.
There's got to be a connection, because, Nick, I've had certain dreams as well. So just I would feel the paralysis feeling, and I would actually hear that, you know, movement inside the house, like someone's there, or there's a few of them there. So I knew there was something happening. And then the next morning I would wake up and I would have like memories of dreams, which I believe is not dreams, because why would the paralysis start and then you've got memories? There's definitely got to be a link to it. Scientifically, I think they are aware of what's going on, but they will not confirm to the public what really is going on.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Do you recall when your last experience was?
My last experience was probably about, I would say, closer to a year ago. So the experiences I've had in my older years, it's very strange and it's very frustrating, actually. It's you know, I can remember the paralysis feeling and I can have certain small vivid images, but it's like they've got some sort of a mind control or mind wipe technology. So I can't recall a lot, but I do know that the experiences are continuing. It has happened, you know, a couple of times. It continuously happens, whether it takes a couple of months out of each other, or sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes a year would go past and nothing would happen to me. 2 years might go past. But it always does get to a point where, you know, I would have that paralysis feeling again, and I know that they're there.
And do you take notes when something happens? Do you jot it down on paper?
Yes, I've got some notes specifically also about my dreams. It's given me a lot of answers. So I do have a diary that I keep, especially on dreams as well.
Yeah, it's always best to journal these experiences, you know, and you might find patterns and, like you said, you know, little answers.
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely. And like I said, what feels like a dream is not necessarily a dream. I believe that they've also got technology where they can take you in a split second and you would maybe go into another dimension or another universe. I'm not sure. But the time is different. It's different there than it is here. So you might be gone for a split second here, but you might be experiencing a whole different timeline somewhere else, which might be a lot longer.
Yeah, the term dream is very loose, isn't it? It's easy just to say this, you know, it was like a dreamlike state.
Yeah, yes, it definitely is. And that's why I say I think there's a lot more people out there that are probably thinking that they're just having certain dreams. But I would say if you are having strange dreams over and over again, you should start doing some research, because I think there's a lot more to it than just being a dream.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. How do you feel about your experiences over the years?
Nick, I struggled to, when I initially started figuring out what was happening to me, I struggled to cope with it, I would say, because I didn't really, I was scared, you know, I was struggling to accept what was happening. And I think the worst thing of all was that I couldn't speak to anybody about it. You know, every time I tried, people would just say, you know, laugh it out and say, no, man, yeah, there's no such thing as aliens. There's no such thing as having different experiences in dream states or in other dimensions. You know, they wouldn't believe it. But, you know, in my late 30s, I started realizing you need to make peace with it. I've done a lot of research after that, and I realized what was going on. And I would say from the day I said to myself, I'm not going to be scared of it any longer, was the same day I started making peace with it as well. I don't believe we will ever have all the answers. If we would, then I don't think they would be wiping our memories. I think there's a reason they're wiping our memories. They don't want us to have all the answers.
And that's probably the best way of actually dealing with this type of thing, because at the end of the day, it is trauma-based. And, you know, if you just brush it under the carpet, it's always still going to be there and it's still going to affect you. But yeah, I mean, you've kind of tackled it head on, and that's probably helped quite considerably.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And, you know, just for being on the show also helps, just to get it out of my system and actually talk about it. So it definitely does help. You need to deal with it.
Absolutely. And the good thing is, you know, someone out there is listening to hear you now, and, you know, they're going to be confident to then speak about their own experiences.
Yes, I definitely believe that, Nick. And what I've seen is, you know, there's so many platforms and so many things on social media that's being censored these days, you know, or just deleted. So I believe there's a lot of people that, you know, it's not as easy to just find people with the same experiences, but shows like these actually makes it possible. If you have gone through these experiences, and I know there's a lot of people obviously listening as well that's gone through these experiences, you know it's real. But it's almost like they, you know, even if I look at the movies that they make, it's almost like they're trying to find a way to laugh it out, to make people feel like they should be ashamed to talk about this because it doesn't really exist. But it does exist. And people should be talking about this more.
The good thing is, I mean, there is a lot of information coming out officially, you know, which is, even though it's kind of baby steps, you know, it is something, and it's getting people interested in something which they probably would have considered it more fringe science, but in the beginning.
Yes. Now, there's a lot of people that's actually waking up at the moment. I think the world is definitely going to get to a point where this information is going to be disclosed, and they're not going to be able to just hide it from the public. It's going to get to a point where they're going to have to confirm that what's going on.
I actually agree. I mean, I'm always very suspicious of any information which comes out officially, I must admit, because I'm always of the belief that they only tell you stuff that they want you to know. So you've always got to take any information that comes out, you know, with a pinch of salt, because you really don't know what their intentions are. Especially these days where information is power, and so much is fear-based these days, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately it is, definitely.
That's wonderful. That was nice and easy, wasn't it?
It was much better than I expected. I was a bit stressed, but now I'm so glad that I've done this.
I hear that all the time. Well, I don't get people on here just to kind of punch holes in their experiences or anything like that. You know, it's not this show's just not about that whatsoever.
No, there's definitely a lot more. So many people that's having these experiences, and I believe it somehow it is connected. Hopefully one day we can find out.
You know, I always say that the more people would share these, you know, their experiences, then you can just maybe just find a little bit extra piece of the puzzle, you know, and put it together. But people are right there, and they're right there in their thousands. And I think that's just the ones that remember. There's plenty of people which just simply don't remember, whether they want to or they're not allowed to.
Yes, that's true.
Did you or any members of your family ever experience any psychic abilities?
Well, it's a difficult one to say. I mean, if you talk about psychic experience, I mean, I specifically know that I've always had a very strong sixth sense. Like I would look at the phone, for instance, and I would know that it's going to start ringing, and it starts ringing. So I know that I've got that. My mom, there's something a bit strange, because she told me she would be able to, I wouldn't say control her dreams, but she had very vivid, strange dream type of experiences as well. Never really mentioned any, you know, encounters with other beings. But no, I don't know of any of the other family members that's had any, you know, psychic abilities or strange experiences.
What about your children?
My children, I haven't really had much time talking to them about this before. I did once play a game with my daughter. I thought, just for the joke of it, let me try it. And we played a game where I said, you need to choose what color I'm thinking about. And it was a bit strange that she got it right, probably about two or three times in a row. That was the one time, you know, that's nothing other than that.
I mean, a mother and daughter have a very strong bond in any case, so.
Yes, we definitely do. We've got a very strong bond. And I remember thinking about how strange it was, because to me it was just jokingly playing a game. And I don't know if it's just by coincidence, but she guessed the colours right that I was thinking about every single time, which was a bit strange to me, but suppose we'll never know what that means.
I think you could definitely class that as being psychic abilities.
Yeah, I have definitely wondered about it before.
Interesting. I get a lot of females on here, and their children, they exhibit certain qualities. Sometimes their behaviour might be a little bit different than maybe their other children and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a way that you can pick up. I know that both my kids have got, I would actually say more my daughter. My son is going through a teenage, you know, stage at the moment, so I don't think he's interested in anything else except for PlayStation games. but my daughter she seems to be showing quite a lot of interest for, you know, spiritual, otherworldly type of interest, you know, so especially if we're watching movies as well, you know, always picking the strange ones. So maybe there is something there. Maybe there is a connection.
Yeah, I believe so. Very open-minded.
I've got one picture, Nick, that I think I can add. I've got a picture that I, you know, woke up one morning also again remembering these specific vivid memories of things that were happening. And I had some marks on my arms. So it's almost like three dots close to each other. But I, you know, obviously don't know where I got those marks from. And I actually took a picture of it that day. So I've got that picture that I can give you.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Brandy, on my last episode, she had the same thing. And she had pictures of all the marks herself and her child and her husband had. So, yeah, that would be great. And people like to listen to the show and then maybe compare to what, you know, the effects that they're getting as well. So it is always good for reference.
Good to share that. Thanks, Nick. I really appreciate it.
Anne, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing that for our listeners.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
That's great. You take care, okay? And I'll talk to you soon. And you enjoy the rest of the, what's left of the evening.
Thanks. Same to you. Keep well.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Hello, Tony, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on today, calling from Colorado.
Yes.
Excellent. You have some paranormal experiences to share with us tonight. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please?
Yeah, I would say my family has a history with paranormal and just the strangeness. They have property, farm property, about 15 miles away from the city. So to give context here, basically a bunch of farm fields in a valley in the desert in the western Colorado away from town. So no light pollution, a lot of wild animals, basically next to the forest. When I was, I guess it started when I was a kid. I would always talk about when I was 4 years old, I would tell my mom about the Pleiadians and the Venetians. And I was 4 years old saying this, that I had a friend and I would go on his ship and we would go on adventure. However, I guess my sister would always tell me that it scared her, would tell my mom, she said that they would scare her because they were always looking in the window. I don't recall that much, but I do remember saying those things as a kid. I was kind of an odd kid. I feel like I was pretty smart for my age, but I never heard of a four-year-old talking about Venetians or Pleiadians or where I would even hear those words. I don't remember the details of those incidents, but I guess my mom told me I would talk about it all the time. It's just something I could recall from memory. It's one of those things I think about now. It's just like, did I make it up as a whimsy of a kid, or is it just something that happened? Why would I talk about that? That was the earliest moments that I could recall that odd occurrences. Me and my sister always shared a room, and she would talk about them in the window while I would tell her that I would go on these trips to the moon and that I always had a good time. When I got old, I can recall this, to have an imaginary friend named Michael, and I would talk about my imaginary friend Michael all the time. And I was hanging out with Michael. We went on Michael's ship and passed this house, and I told, when I was a kid, I told my mom that, hey, that's where Michael lived. That's where Michael lives. So I would say it all the time. And finally, she got to a point where this is getting ridiculous. So she stopped by the house and contacted the people. And he swears he knew a person named Michael, but Michael died about 10 years ago, which was really odd because I can't recall a face or a person, but it was something I just talked about all the time as a kid. Something I repeated almost daily. It's just one of those things you try to think about But it sounds so crazy to think about that. It's almost like you want to tell yourself that it was just a dream, but there's so many occurrences that everybody telling you what you said that kind of hard to believe yourself almost. That was about 5 to 6. I would always talk about that. In between then, I can't recall too many incidents. Like it wasn't just a series of events. It was just every few years something odd would happen. So being out here away from the city and being in the wild, I've heard and seen many animals. The next odd thing that I can recall, as kids, me and my friends were outside camping besides the river area. We just started a campfire, and my friend, we heard a strange rustling in the bushes, so we just run in the tent real quick, thought we heard an animal, and my friend just his eyes are completely wide open. He's just staring at me. He's like, "Did you hear that?" "Hear what?" Like, it heard like a purring, almost chattery, like speaker sound, like someone on a walkie-talkie, but also kind of like a cougar or a mountain lion purring. So that was odd. We just kind of sit there and like, "Oh, I didn't hear anything. What did you hear? What made that sound?" As we're discussing what we possibly heard or what happened before we go out of the tent, we hear a branch snap, and a giant branch. You hear this cracking and you hear it fall. I go out there the next day to see what happened, and the branch was so large that could have easily crushed my car. Couldn't even wrap my hands around it. And you could tell from how it broke, whatever it was so heavy that the weight broke the branch. It wasn't a natural falling off or breakage, which was really strange. And it kind of goes with all my family talking about just weird things being out here, but they never got into detail. As far as seeing things, I haven't seen a physical thing, just hearing things in the bushes and stuff like that. About years later, when I was, I want to say, between 8 to 10 years old, I was sleeping in my bed. I used to have a mattress on the floor right by the window, and I would just wake up naturally on the weekends, and the light would come in and wake me up. I remember opening my eyes one morning on a Saturday morning, and I just felt like there was someone either staring at me or just so I felt a presence. I didn't feel alone. I think it was early morning. I don't even know what time. I just opened my eyes, and there's a 4-foot gap to my left from me to the mattress to the wall and the window right above it. I look over and I see the image of an old man laying with his hands crossed his chest, just staring up with his eyes closed. The weird part is, the more I try to think about the face, it was featureless, as if the old man had no features of, like, no eyebrows, no discerning. It was like a human with no hair, which was odd because it seemed like he was wearing white. And the more I try to think about how his face appeared, there was like a bright white light around his head, as if I was staring in a spotlight and he was in front of it. So the more I think about how his face looked, the more obscure it became. I know that doesn't make sense, but it was odd because, like, I could feel there was a weight on the mattress as well, but it wasn't enough to compress the mattress, but it was enough to feel like someone was laying next to me. And I just remember the whole time I could not move. I could only look around with my eyes. No matter how hard I tried, I could make no sound. I tried to scream for my brother in the next room, and I couldn't even produce sound. I don't know if that's just because I was just waking up in that moment, but I remember it really frightening me. I just felt awful. It really scared the hell out of me. I just clenched my eyes as tight as I could, and it seemed like an entire minute went by before I felt like it was gone. And I clenched my eyes super tight, and I remember this because I did it so much it hurt. I wanted to make sure it wasn't a dream. I bit my own lip and I squeezed my eyes shut as hard as I could to make sure I wasn't just woke up early seeing something. But I just remember the whole time it was like sleep paralysis. I know I heard you talk about that before on your show. Was it like you felt like your body was locked, as if you couldn't move at all?
I couldn't move anything. The only thing I could move was my eyeballs.
Yeah. You could look around and...
Yeah, I could look around, but my body, there was no function whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah, I could only move my eyelids and my eyeballs, which it's such a strange thing because it happened a few months after my grandpa passed away. So I want to assume that it was my grandpa because it had, you know, he's an old balding man. And he always wore a white shirt to bed. But I think I just associated that with him because that's just what I figured. But the more I try to think about it, I can just, it seems like the light around its head gets brighter. It's like the more I try to remember it, the fuzzier it becomes. That was a pretty big event. I was a kid and it was pretty... You know, I mean, I used to say all those things, but at that age, I was at the point where I just didn't really believe much. I found out Santa wasn't real and all that. So I was kind of a doubter for a long time. There was years after that incident where nothing occurred. One night, me and my cousins and my friends, we would just, on summer nights, we'd just all get together and meet at my mom's house up the road. We just plan what we're going to do that night, go out and get into trouble. They came over to see what, meet up with us, and we were planning on what we were going to do at my mom's house. I remember it was a full moon summer night, not a cloud in the sky. I mean, if there was clouds, I mean, you could see them, you know, see their white and gray, but we were discussing where we were going to go or what we were going to do. And I remember us talking about, hey, I want to do something. Hey, we should do something scary. We should go see, let's go in the woods or something. Let's, you know, see something like an old abandoned house. And as we're talking, I look up and I see the full moon, and it looks like there's a black torn bed sheet just floating around in the air at first, and I kind of just stop and stare at it because I didn't say anything. I didn't think thought I was the only one that was seeing it. I didn't want to say anything. All I remember is it was just there when I looked up, but it was like a mix between a shredded pirate flag, or it kind of looked like those Dementors from Harry Potter. Have you seen the Harry Potter movies?
I sure do. And I had a guest on, I think it was on the Halloween episode, Catherine, and she saw what she thought looked very similar to the Dementor. Really? Being, yeah.
Yeah, it's because I haven't even heard anyone that's seen this as well. But yeah, it looked very shredded. It looked like someone purposely took the scissors and tried to make either a really just a Halloween decoration or just cutting up a sheet. I remember it flapping as if there was wind, but it wasn't a windy night. And the thing about it that really set me off was just staring at it. Just I couldn't stop staring at it. It was fascinating. It was so black that even you couldn't even see the light reflecting off the edges of it. I mean, even in front of the full moon, it had no soft glows. It was the blackest thing I've ever seen. It was blacker than the night. It was blacker than, you know, the silhouettes of the trees and the hills in the background. You've heard of Vanta Black, that produced material.
Yeah, the blackest black.
Yes, that's what it reminded me of, because you could tell it was a hooded figure. It was really hard to tell, but it looked as if it had a cloak. It was looking down in two large opening hands or claws, and it was just scanning the field underneath. It was just looking back and forth slowly. And I was staring at it, and I didn't say anything for a while. Then all of a sudden, everyone just like, what is that? What the hell? Everyone just starts freaking out, pointing at it. And I was so relieved, because I'm glad I'm not the only one that initially saw it. We weren't scared. We were more bewildered. It was like seeing a wild animal you never seen before. It was, you know, you just get that curiosity. We were really excited. I mean, we ran down the street to get one of my friends had an old video camera that was from the 90s. And that's the only thing we could think of. Ran to his house to get outside and try to record it. All along, it would keep the same pace as us while we were walking down the street. It was just floating above the trees. At the same time, it was still just doing its head turn back and forth. It seemed to either hover. It reminded me of a jellyfish. You know how they kind of float and they're features just hang and drag behind them. It was very jelly, smoke-like, very viscous. It was still black, but it reminded me of like those CGI videos of smoke and CGI effects of smokes and liquids. And I just remember seeing the very thin parts of it that it would seem to change. And even then, you couldn't see through the very thin strands. It made no sound. It didn't seem like there was even any sound at all. Have you heard of the Oz effect?
Yeah, I sure have, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty much what it was. There were no crickets. There were no chirping. There's no animals. There's no wind. It felt like we were in a hangar, a large empty room. It was just very flat. The sound was just flat. When we would talk, no sound seemed to really carry. And I just remember thinking about that so much, because this was the early 2000s. And if I've heard, you know, it could possibly be a drone, people are playing a prank, you know, I've seen those, you know, where they put the skeleton or a Grim Reaper on a drone and they fly by and scare people. But I just remember it was so quiet. It's never been that quiet out here. I mean, you can hear the highway. It's just this, you know, this open field with nothing to block the sound. There's no cities or buildings. It was just the oddest thing, because it seemed like it was looking for something. And we went to record it, and with the old camera, you couldn't make out any feature. It was too black. It was just the night sky, and it just floated over this ridge. And on this ridge, it's a plateau. It goes for miles of desert, and there's just nothing up there. And it just slowly floated away. And I remember it going, as it seemed to disappear from view, the sound got louder. Like the sound filled, it's like popping your ears in a tunnel or like you're driving on up a mountain or something. I just remember all the sound rushing back.
That's a strange one.
Yeah.
I mean, you could definitely rule out drones in any case.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially in those days, maybe 10 years ago, maybe. And obviously not a scarecrow or anything like that.
I think about this one daily because I saw it with four other people, and three of them are very religious. They're good friends, but they're very religious, and you know, they don't talk about UFOs. They don't believe in ghosts. And even for them to be alarmed and considering it, this is the craziest thing, because it was fascinating. I've never seen or heard anything that is ever, wow. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you knew it was alive. Like you could feel like it was alive, but it was just, it was so interesting. I just couldn't take my eyes off it the whole time. I mean, I have never seen or heard anything or even heard anything about that before.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now. The Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
What kind of size would you have said it was?
Oh, it was large. It either seemed to have a really wide open cloak, or it's just its whole mass, which seemed to change constantly. I would say it was the size of a small car, size of a bed. Yeah, like a small sedan. If it was a man, I mean, if it was a hooded man, it was large. I mean, it would have been at least 8 or 9 feet tall. I want to say it was like 8 feet long at least. I mean, it was hard to tell.
The movements, it wasn't erratic.
No, very, very angelic, very floaty, very jellyfish, elegant, very smooth, just kind of drifted. It didn't seem like wind or anything was affecting it. It was just going by. It was just like something floating in the water and just gently floating by. But the whole time, its body was constantly, you know, morphing into smoke, and is just constantly shifting. I really can't explain it. I want to say pulsating. It just reminded me of a jellyfish, sluggish creature. It was very viscous, if I were to describe it.
That's very strange. You and your friends did say you wanted to go out and get scared.
Yes, that's so. I've had a theory on this. I've heard of tulpas, and I don't know what to believe in, but I don't know. I didn't think people that didn't believe, I mean, how much thought power would you have to put into something like that?
It's quite possible, though, you know. I mean, a lot of people go out searching for stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were doing. That's when we saw it.
Really, really wanted to get scared, and you saw something. Then there's other people which go out to graveyards and that, and nothing happens.
Yeah, that one really sticks with me. I mean, more than seeing the ghost, because this just defies the laws of physics. I know ghosts and UFOs may as well, but I mean, that's reality breaking. How does it get so silent and reflect no light at all? I mean, it literally looked like black hole or something.
There's a lot of crazy stuff out there.
Yeah.
You know, if there's such things as ghosts and UFOs, you know, there's going to be other stuff in between. You know,
yeah.
All kinds of people had seen so many unusual things. So
that one I would probably pair closest to is an elemental, just from what I've read and heard. I mean, that's the closest thing that I could pin it to, is I've seen the djinn or the black elementals. I've heard stories about that, but yeah. It just seems like being far from the city with no light pollution and just being in the wild, things out here I've seen and heard things that just doesn't make any sense. And I do know that there is a National Guard, Army National Guard base that's on the base of this mountain in this desert area, a few miles away from this area. But in between here and the next city, there's a base like hidden over by the mountain. And I've seen jets flying around with spotlights, which I've never seen before. I've seen government drones that are really advanced, about the size of cars. You could see them testing them out here. As far as seeing lights and stuff, in my backyard, I have no light pollution and I have the mountain there. And constantly you'll see just tiny lights that zigzag, you know, nothing too spectacular. But I mean, obviously satellites and planes don't fly in a Z formation. One time me and a friend were much older. We were helping my friend back to her car out here. We were getting in the passenger seat and we were walking through the field and a bright blue flash, like a lightning flash, lights up the whole area briefly. And you look up and you just see, it looked like a comet, just with like a tail. It was bluish, bright green. And it was kind of roundish, but it was more discus. But you could see it breaking the atmosphere. But it reminded me of the Aurora Borealis, just the blue and green. And it briefly flashed by. And I remember looking at my friend and just asking him, like, oh, is that a comet? And there was no news. No one out there reported seeing it. It wasn't reported on the astronomy report, anything like that. There's been lots of random meteorites and comets that you just, strange that I feel like that's something that would be mentioned, or I guess if it's just so common, people don't talk about it. Would a comet or meteorite be newsworthy, or is that just...
It depends with the meteorite. I mean, if it's picked up on, say, like a dash cam or a weather video or something, or it's been reported, then maybe. But if you're quite remote, you know, you are relatively remote, aren't you?
Yeah.
I did see a meteorite about a month ago now, and it was bright white and blue. Beautiful it was, very quick. But I didn't hear, I'm quite a heavily populated area, and I didn't hear anything on the news about that.
Right. Yeah, it's just hard to, because these stories aren't constant, but it just seems like being out here away from the whole city and being in a valley, you just hear and see strange things out here. I mean, I tell friends, people all the time, I see lights that zigzag, and that's all it is. I mean, there's nothing more to it. It's as close as I got, but it's like, it's not news to me anymore. I don't care because I feel like it's never going to be more than that answer. I just see things that don't do what planes do.
Don't do what planes do. Don't do what satellites do.
Our technology can't do it. That's all I know. I don't have a picture for, you know, I don't have the answers. And everyone's so quick to deny it because there's just no, it's not in their lap. There's no proof that's just sitting right in front of them. It just amazes me that there's hundreds and thousands of videos and stories of people talking about this, but it's always thrown under the rug or it's dismissed as hearsay or, you know.
I mean, I've seen those zigzaggers and they've got a line, a path, and they change direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing does that. Yeah. That's man-made, as nothing does that, which is anything celestial. You know, anything traveling a distance, they don't do that. You know, what you're seeing is something anonymous, you know, it's very strange. You know, and you're very fortunate where you live. You know, you've got great clean air. You've got surrounded by countryside.
Yeah, no light pollution at all.
No light pollution.
I can see the Milky Way. That's how much there's no light pollution. It's great. It gets a little scary sometimes because I try to think about, I've read John Keel. I've listened to those podcasts, and I do believe that if you try looking for it, it will find you. you know, the more you try to dive into it, I feel like the more things happen to you. Does that make sense? Like, the more you're trying to discover it, just odd things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I call it the paranormal bubble. When you kind of get involved in this stuff, strange things happen. You know, you have strange meetings with people. You have synchronicities and coincidences. And
That's another thing I wanted to discuss. Just trying to talk to you on this podcast, I'm not going to lie. Just before calling you, I had all kinds of issues come up, which is odd, because today, you know, earlier today I was ready to go home and everything was good. But synchronicities, I had a few that really, really just, and it doesn't happen always. It seems like the more I think about it, the more I notice, but I've just been so busy lately that I haven't really noticed. But I noticed it's always with the radio or it's with TV that it's related to. So one night I was just watching YouTube and I watched these streamers and I just have it on the background. They're playing some kind of Pictionary game where you have to draw it and guess it and guess the word or something like that. And I remember I just had it in the background. I wasn't paying attention. And my cat found a baby mouse fetus, which was pretty alarming. I've never seen that. Just drops it off right by my feet, and it's still alive. And I just look down, like, oh my gosh. And I look up at the TV at the same time that my cat dropped that off. They were playing this game, and they had this weird picture, and it said stomach mouse. And it was a picture of a little baby mouse in a stomach. That really freaked me out. I mean, yeah.
That's odd.
That made me jump a little bit. I was like looking around. Yeah. Just thinking about it right now is just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. It was just so odd. Such an odd thing. And that's kind of been happening on and off. I mean, not lately. I've just been so busy keeping myself busy at work and things like that. But another time at my job, I remember working on this thing and it had a little metal bracket that was like an L shape. And I remember losing it on this part and I couldn't find it. I was just thinking about it all day. Like, I wonder where that went. And I come home and I have a pellet stove and it has a little wood chips. They just go down and you just close the lid. It just kind of automatic. I remember the pellet stove turned off and it seemed like something was jammed inside. So I had to take out all the pellets and I removed the thing and it was an L-shaped bracket, exactly the same size and shape as the one at my job. It was part of the fireplace. It was a piece from the handle on the lid, but it was the same shape.
Usual.
Yeah, I keep having, a lot of the days I'll hear the same song on the radio play is when I go to work as when I leave. And it doesn't matter what time of day, like I'll work 9 hours, I'll work 8 hours, it's just odd times. It's always the same song. And I don't know if that's just a radio station thing. And it's just things like that. It's just really weird of something I'm doing and there'll be a song about it. Or it's something I see on TV is related to what I'm doing. You've seen how YouTube, they just start having ads and videos that are related to something you were discussing with someone.
Yeah, I
know it's some of that, but it's to the point where like, it almost seems it's a game. They know that I know, and they know everything that I'm doing.
Yeah, I've been there. You know, I had a guest on several months ago and he was a photographer and he would do photo shoots with famous people and stuff. And we were talking about, I think it was after the show, we were actually talking about this. So I was talking to him on Skype like we're doing now. And we were talking about, he had done some work with Sting, you know, that the artist Sting.
Mm, yeah.
And the very next day, all I had on Facebook was Police albums, Sting albums. and they're not connected. The computer I'm on now is not connected to where my Facebook was on the phone. It's very strange.
Wow. It just makes me wonder how it seems like everything somehow is related. I just always have this feeling that, I don't know, it's almost like we're connected somehow through our actions. Does that make sense?
I do know what you're saying. You know, all these weird coincidences that you're experiencing, you know, it's the same for a lot of people. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure about... It's just funny how being an American, being in the United States, just our history, we conquer things. You know, this is what the Americans do. Everything, everywhere they've ever been, you know, like Iraq, Afghanistan, they've took over in some way. And it just doesn't seem like the American thing to just go up on the moon and just put a flag up there. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you're saying that you think there's more up there?
Yes, because the odds of the moon and the fact that no matter what point of the earth, you can never see the other side of it. It's just always been something I've thought about. It's just, I mean, any other planet, other moon we can see. We can see Venus, we can see Jupiter, we can see Pluto, but we can't even see the other side of the moon.
Yeah, it's very clear. It's very convenient how everything is timed, isn't it?
Yeah, convenient for sure. That's the word I would definitely use. That's just odd. Odd that we just went up there and we're not going back. And then all of a sudden we were talking about building the moon base, aka the mission to Mars, and then starts the Space Force at the same time.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going in motion at the minute.
Yeah.
Some things I think are going to be good. Some things I think are going to be bad. But we definitely are being kind of herded in a particular direction. You know,
yeah.
There's no, it's not a coincidence that all these things are coming out and happening together.
No. I was just talking to my friend about, like, I don't know why no one believes me. You can look it up on your phone. No one can see the other side of the moon. It's not, you know, just think about that. We can see everything else, but we've never seen the other side of the moon. That's not interesting to you. And then as soon as I mentioned that, I saw that article about the monolith up there. It's just odd.
I know someone did ask me the other day about it, what I reckon it was. And I did say, well, you know, when the astronauts went there in, I think, 71, 72, Glenn actually played golf up there. And I did say, maybe it's his golf cart.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. I did see an article before that one with the Chinese rover. You might want to look this up as well, but I mean, I don't know. It could just be some kind of chemical, but I guess they found some kind of substance or a gel-like substance on the far side of the moon. Just odd.
I mean, whatever we're being told, you know, it's only going to be about 10% of what's actually happening.
Absolutely. The thing is, and I think that I believe Terry Lovelace 100%. I think there is something, a base up there. And the fact, I just don't think people can handle the truth. I mean, if you found out people are just living, they just live, they don't have to work, and they can just travel to planet, just discovering things, you as a human species would be upset that you don't have the same thing that they do.
Yeah, I'll be annoyed. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'll be more annoyed.
Yeah. Why can't we go to your planet? Why can't we go on your ship?
Exactly.
And people would be upset about that.
I do kind of think that the information that's all coming out at the minute is being drip fed. And I think they're going to go with the kind of defense approach. So over the many, many decades, there's always been a fear. And that's kind of what keeps the train going is pure fear. Whether it was the Nazis or it was communism and then terrorism. So there's always a fear. So it is very possible that they could use these UFOs, these objects that are being seen and that they have no control over, as being a negative thing. That's the direction which I'm kind of thinking they're going to go down. If they do say they are a danger, then it's very possible. You know, it's the same as anything. There's going to be good and there's going to be bad. But I do think that if they did want to cause us any harm, then they would have done it before.
Absolutely. I've heard stories where there's the mantis type species where they think they're, you know, evil of some sort.
There's a couple of chains of thought when it comes to that. A lot of the cases which I've been kind of involved in, they've always been kind of positive.
And it's always about love and peace.
Sometimes, seems. Yeah, sometimes.
I just really relate to Terry because I know he talks about seeing them as monkeys in his head as a kid. And as a kid, I thought they were just a bunch of little friends, which was odd to me. And I think, this is my theory, I think most people, if not everyone, was abducted at some point. I don't know why or what the purpose is, but I feel like we're just being watched. We're like a space reality show, you know, because humans are interesting. I feel like humans just are interesting to watch. And I started to think too, we became such a consumer planet. We went from like hunters and gatherers to making stuff we don't even really need, like with technology, just like, I'm going to buy the new thing. You don't absolutely have to have it to live. But I almost have this theory as if Earth is just, we're like a factory planet. We make the goods for just people to have things, just unique things. And we've never used to be like that as a society. We used to be more culturally farming based society. And we went from that to just making stuff. You know, I work at a place, I make stuff to sell to someone else who makes stuff that I buy somewhere else. I just really thought about that.
Yeah, it's like we've lost our dependency, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like we're, I don't want to say the word slaves, but it's like almost, that's what humans are, that's our purpose. We just make stuff. We're just builders. It's what we do. Like everyone's trying to find this huge meaning in life. I think that's it. That is our purpose. As a spiritual level, no. But overall, yes.
I've always hated the idea of being born, then just working for the rest of your life. And that's it.
Yeah, me too. And I think that's the problem is, as people, we know we used to be, you just farm for a few hours that day. And that was your life, right? I mean, it may be a hard life, but it was all you just doing what you needed to do, not excessively working, you know, for hours and on end. We just did what we had to do to survive. We didn't go above and beyond. There's no overtime. You know, that wasn't a thing. I just, like, even since childhood at school, they train you to be in a line. They train you to take commands and orders, you know. And I was in the military. That's a thing, too. But it just, if you look at like the 1900s compared to today, like they just grew up as kids and they just did their thing. But now we have to go, you have to be in school so many years that you go straight to work. And it just seems like it's more and more now to the point where it's just people have come so accustomed to it.
I always feel as well that everything we're kind of told is a lie, you know, things about the history. And, you know, they do always say it's the victors that write history.
Yeah.
It seems like a big library of information, and most of it is missing. Most of the books are missing.
Mm-hmm. Like the Library of Alexandria, you know, what was in there?
Exactly.
It's just strange how it just makes me wonder. Like, people are so prone to be religious, but if you mention UFOs, just in public, people think, you know, you're a bit nutty.
I know.
But it's been drilled into our heads that if you even mention it, you think they're a weirdo. Even as kids, you'd pick on the kid that would say that. And like, it's been programmed from birth that people are just shunned and for talking about this stuff. But if you say religion or anything, no one even, you know, thinks about it. It's just, oh yeah, there's a God. Just when it comes to religion, just the stories in the Bible, you can relate anything to, well, I mean, geez, I mean, an alien, that could have been an alien that you're talking about. If you hear the accurate description of angels in the Bible, it's horrifying. It's,
yeah, they are strange. They're all eyes. They're like 14 eyes.
Yeah, it's like a wheeling machine of fire. It's not, yeah, it's not something you would, it's like has 100 dog heads.
They're not very angelic.
No, not at all. And I think that people just associate what we know. I mean, if you look at old pictures of hippopotamus before it was recorded in books, it looks like a dragon or something. It just makes you wonder, you know, we were so like, oh, that's crazy talk. Oh, I never heard of that. And then you see it and you're like, oh, that's the real thing. And it's that simple for people. It's just a, oh, I have to see it for myself.
It's a strange world we live in.
Yeah. I almost wonder if this is like a test to see if you can figure it out yourself. Each person has to figure it out for themselves. And then you can either be lifted out of this existence or just live your life. And then something comes after.
You know, and then I look around at people and how they behave and things they go on about and act and stuff. And I think we've got no hope. We've got no hope whatsoever.
No, I mean, I don't think anyone on this planet, no matter how good they think they are, I don't think there are truly good human beings. That's what we do, you know? Like if we go to the woods and chop trees down, I mean, humans are destructive species.
By nature.
Yeah, that's just what we do. And no matter what, that's just, you know, that's a human behavior. I think that's the thing is just, well, we're never going to get the answer because there's always going to be those people. And the few people that have seen or heard things, they were optimistic enough to let it happen.
Yeah, I think it's important to open yourself up to these experiences.
I think that's the thing is people, they get scared because they don't understand it. And yeah, I was scared during those events, but now that I think about it, to me, it's fascinating.
Yeah, things can get very frightening, especially if you don't, spend more so if you don't understand something or what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree with you. It is fascinating and it's exciting to know that there's things out there that are different, you know, abnormal than what, you know, what we live day by day.
Yeah. I wish more people talked about it like you did and had people talk about it. Because the thing about humans is, why would people be so specific about the things they saw? You know, it's, if I were to embellish something, I feel like I would try to, you know, make a really cool story.
But yeah, but it's just not the way, you know? I mean, I know people which have embellished stories and made stuff up and have been caught out later on, you know? I'm not talking about the guests on the show. I've had guests on the show which have, like you said, very specific details.
Yeah. It's like, why humans have really good memories, you know? And the thing is, too, is though, no matter how hard you think about it, you want an answer, you're never satisfied because there is no answer to this stuff. At least you'll never get it.
I mean, there's definitely answers out there. But I do think the searching is the fun bit.
Yes. Yeah. Searching.
Especially if the answer that you eventually do get is not the answer that you want to hear.
And I think that's mostly the case is, if you have aliens are real, then show me this. Like, I'm not going to tell you something you want to hear. It's not, you're never going to, maybe the government's controlling us and there's aliens. Oh, that's not true. Well, you just say that because it doesn't sound like a good thing. It's not what you wanted to hear, but that's just what it is. That's what I think.
My favorite one is, well, you know, if there's aliens out there, why don't they just land on the White House lawn?
You know, they're not in the White House.
You know, I think if they were going to pick a place, it sure as hell wouldn't be the White House.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll shoot at you. They'll shoot at you if you get out of your ship. Just, you hear any stories of old UFOs and anything, the Travis Walton, they all tried to grab a weapon. That was the first reaction of every single person. Grab a shotgun. I mean, well, why don't they want to talk to us? I wonder. I wonder why.
In the second episode I did this lady and she was telling me this story with her father who said he would have these experiences and he was the same. He went for a shotgun.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Apparently shot him. So, and he's not the first one. You know, I've had several guests which have been involved in those, in a sort of certain behavior. And I did speak to a guy up in Canada. Now he wasn't a guest on the show. I just speak to him and he's a biker and he would say him and his mates, you know, they'd go out at night and they'd see these lights flying around and they'd be shooting at him, drinking beer and shooting at him.
Jeez. And that's exactly why. It's never going to happen. It's just my theory is I think that it happened as kids because that's when we're the most innocent as humans. maybe
yeah,
we were abducted as kids because you're not going to hurt anyone. You don't know what's good or evil at 4 years old.
No, you don't. And it's really common among my guests that something happens in their, you know, in their childhood. And I guarantee it just about every one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always very young age. And the thing is, I've never been hypnotized or anything, but I don't know if I have enough evidence or memories to even do that. I don't even know if that's possible because I can't remember saying all those things. I'm 32 now, you know, it was years ago. I just don't know how that worked.
Again, it's very specific. Those terms are very specific. That's not something you wouldn't hear on the television. You know, you kind of have to dabble in this subject to really get those particular words, you know.
I have always had this feeling like I kind of got dropped off. It's a weird feeling, but I feel like I'm left out. Like I'm almost upset that I'm like, why'd you stop? If I was doing that as a kid, why did it stop?
Or maybe it didn't stop.
Yeah, that's another thing. I don't know.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
Because I get approached by people which just say they will have an experience in their 20s or 30s, but they say that's it. That's, you know, that's all what happened.
Right.
But then certain things will come up. They start talking about the parent, what their parents would talk about and stuff. So you have it. You have more than one family member which have had these experiences. So it's quite often the case that this individual has probably had experiences throughout their whole life.
The most lately is just those synchronicities is just strange. You know, there's times in the past where I've had deja vu. And that's just the weirdest thing because I feel like deja vu is normal for most people. And I've read that it's if you have a monotonous day, you kind of do the same thing every day. That's when it starts to happen. You know, it's kind of predictable at that point. But when I used to get it, I get just very sick. I don't know if you've had similar experiences, but just deja vu, I just want to throw up.
Some pretty full-on ones.
Yeah, and they've always been very accurate. I mean, the strangest one, I had an ex-girlfriend. I knew we were fighting, things were bad, and I had a dream that I was looking. I knew the password to her phone. I mean, that should have been a bad sign. But in the dream, I knew the password of her phone, and I opened it, and I saw that she was talking to someone else. And I wake up that morning, and I use that same password. It was the password, and that exactly happened. But then again, it's one of those things, you know, maybe I'm just, it's in my head, just being with her all the time. You're doing the same thing every day. But I've never felt empathic. I've just always felt different in some way. And I could just be from the experiences I've had, but I don't know. I've always felt different. I've always been the odd one.
Wonderful, you know? Tony.
I hope that wasn't too crazy. I really didn't know where to start, but
did you ever talk to your friends about that, about what you saw?
I still have a friend that's a really good friend, and we still talk about it, and he's still religious. And one of the friends that was religious, he believes he really thought in the Bible, they're talking about the angel of death with the lamb's blood on the door. I didn't really think that, but that was pretty interesting point of view. It was very Grim Reaper-like, though, definitely. It just reminded me of the Dementor or the Disturbed, the band. They're like logo dude.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
The shadow dude or whatever it is.
So if there's any listeners out there which have seen something very similar to what Tony has experienced, get in contact.
Yes, absolutely. What episode? And you said there was a woman who's seen something similar.
Yeah, so that was Catherine. That was on the Halloween episode. So that was 136.
136, okay.
Yeah, the Halloween special.
I will listen to that.
Yeah, that's Catherine. I'm not sure. I think I got 4 or 5 on that episode.
Okay.
It was just something that flew over the car. It was very brief. But that's
very brief.
That's the first thing she said, Dementor.
Well, that's the first thing I've heard of anyone saying anything even closely related. I mean,
one thing that always happens on this show, though, when I have an episode about a particular subject or something that's happened to the guest, and any similarities that people have, they will then reach out, they'll send me emails saying, oh, that's exactly what happened to me.
Okay.
Time and time again, I'll put an episode out and I'll get 100 emails about a particular subject. But it just goes to show how common these experiences actually are. Thanks for coming on, man. It's been great talking to you, Tony.
All right. It was been great.
Take care of yourself, all right?
All right. You too.
Okay. Cheers, Tony.
Goodbye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a ratings and review on your selected player if you are able. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A special thank you to Anne and Tony for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.